This podcast is a production of Bridges Church. Please visit us at www.bridgeschurch.net.
We're going to divide this book of Acts into seven segments. Bibles do it differently. We do it by chapter sometime, but there's really seven movements, seven segments, seven sections in the book of Acts. We're going to work through really quickly and tell the story of what happened for 30 years after Jesus went to heaven. Segment one, section one. First thing you see is the Holy Spirit comes with power in Acts chapter 2, just like Jesus said. First segment, we've got to get this happen. Jesus said it's going to happen. The Holy Spirit's going to come with power. How did it happen? If you've never read this before, this is where it started. Acts chapter 2, 1 through 5, was where God changed everything he was doing about working with people. Before, the Holy Spirit would come upon people for a period of time. Now the Holy Spirit was going to come into people and drive the mission and drive their lives. Acts chapter 2, 1 through 5. When the day of Pentecost arrived, which is 50 days, Pent is 50 days after Passover, when that day arrived, they were all together in one place. There's about 120 people following Jesus. When we put first service and second service together, all the volunteers, everything, we're about 120. And it gives me great comfort to know that when Jesus spent 3 years in his life, he only had 120 people. That's all he needed to change the world. It wasn't thousands, but 120 people at this together meeting. And it says, next verse, suddenly there came from heaven a sound like a mighty rushing wind. And remember, the word for wind and spirit and breath is the same in Greek and Hebrew. And it filled the entire house where they were sitting. And divided tongues as a fire appeared to them and rested on each one of them. Can you kind of picture this? I mean, you're just sitting in this room and there's this wind and it's hitting and suddenly these tongues of fire just appear on people's head and around them and they're glowing and the whole world is looking and going, what is happening in that room? And it says they were filled with the Spirit and began to speak in other tongues, other languages, as the Spirit gave them utterance. And now there was dwelling, or were dwelling in Jerusalem, Jews, devout men from every nation under heaven. Key thing, God picked the perfect time. Jewish people from all over the known world in their area had come for the day of Pentecost. And they're gathered there to do their normal thing, and God had something extraordinary for them to see and experience. They come there, they see this building shaking. These guys come out, they're speaking their own language. Like, they can hear in their own home language what is being said, and they're going, something is happening here. God is doing something in our midst. So they go and they go, what is going on? And Peter, who always loves a crowd and always loves to just step up, even if he doesn't know what he's doing, he gets up there and he starts talking about Jesus. He just starts telling the story of Jesus because they're all going, you guys are drunk. You're acting crazy. He goes, no, it's, and it's, I love this line, and you can read it. He goes, basically, it's too early to be drunk. I don't know what that says about Peter, if he got drunk later. I don't think he did. But he says, too early to be drunk. This is not being drunk. This is the Holy Spirit you're experiencing. And he walked them through just a few scriptures and said, this is Jesus. And he talked about his death because he was perfect. And because of sin of the people, our sin and their sin, it drove him to the cross. And he died for us and he died for the group. And they explained that. And the Holy Spirit is working because you can tell somebody that. It may not impact their life, but that day it did. And they're totally convicted. And they begin crying out, what are we supposed to do then? What are we supposed to do? We believed one way, now you're telling us something different. We're seeing God at work. We want to be part of that. And in Acts chapter 2, verse 38, I'm cutting his sermon down to one verse. And he said to them, you want to know what to do? Here's what you do. Acts 2, 38, repent and be baptized, every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. You want to know what to do? It's really simple. Repent. Repent means to change your mind, metanoia. Change the way you think about yourself. You're a sinner. You're broken. You've got issues. Every one of you, every one of us. He didn't point out an individual. He said, we all have issues. You got to repent. What do you believe about God? You got to change the way you think about God. You got to change the way you think about Jesus. You got to think about who's in charge of your life. Who's really in charge of your life, you or Jesus? Repent. Change the way you think. And when you do that, be baptized. The word baptized there is the word baptizo. It simply means to be immersed. You jump into a swimming pool, you're immersed, okay? Be immersed. Why? Because it's a picture of you dying to your old life and coming up to a new life. It's a picture of you going in dirty and coming out clean. That's the picture of baptism. It's why we celebrate them at Bridges, why we celebrate anytime anyone's baptized, because someone is saying, I want a new life, and I want it in Jesus. And your life starts over. I know people who celebrate that day as their birthday. Here at Bridges, we just say, when you're ready, we're ready. When you're ready, we're ready. We'll baptize anytime. It's sitting back in the back. We have celebration services for some. Sometimes we just do it that day. Whatever it takes, be baptized. That's what it's about. And he says, the reason you do that is two reasons. When you give your life in faith to Jesus Christ, your sins are forgiven and you start over. For that group of people standing there that day, that was a huge message. You don't have to do anything special. You don't have to act differently. That's up to the Holy Spirit. You just have to receive forgiveness, and the gift of the Holy Spirit will be given to you, and you'll be different. You don't have to come different. You come to be different. Jesus will work in your life through the Holy Spirit. It will change you. It's not about self-help. It's about Holy Spirit power, and that's what they did. That day, and it's amazing, went from 120 people to 3,000 men plus women and children. I don't know what they did to baptize all those people in one day. It must have been a line around the corner. I wonder if they were peeking out people. Hey, I want Peter to baptize me. I don't want John, you know, maybe. Or I want John, I don't want Peter, whatever it may have been. But it's just like all day. Isn't that exciting? People coming up with their arms raised and celebrating a new life in Jesus. 3,000 people. The church grew in one day. And the cool thing, notice what it said in verse 5. They were from every nation. They had come there. Now what are they going to do? They're going to go home, and what are they going to say? People go, how was your trip? How was Pentecost? I got a story to tell you. I went there to go eat some food and enjoy the celebration, but God showed up, and I was baptized. Now I follow Jesus. Can I tell you that story? That's what God did that day. That's why Pentecost is a huge day. And that is segment one, okay? So the Holy Spirit has to come in power before we can do anything else. Segment two, you have the first church, the first gathering of people under this new paradigm. The Holy Spirit's in charge, and they get together, Acts 2, 42 to 47. This is the picture of what it means to be a follower of Jesus in a church. It says in verse 42, they did several things. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching. In other words, the apostles just got up and taught. Here's what Jesus said. This is what he did. This is how we live. And they were devoted. They were sold out to hearing the message and being changed. That's what they did in church. And to fellowship. Now, we think that means eating like in the fellowship hall, right? And we're going to have a meal together. Fellowship meant our lives are connected. And I'm going to love you, and you're going to love me, and I'm going to be here for you, and you're going to be there for me. And I'm going to do what's best for you, and you're going to do what's best for me. And that's the beauty of the church. Then it says to the breaking of bread. There's two ways you can read that. Sometimes it just means we share a meal together. Other times we look at that and go, well, he's talking about the Lord's Supper. We know they did that. We call it communion. But that was something they did regularly. And then they prayed together. What did a church service look like? We don't know, but we did those things. All right? Did they worship like us? Yes and no. It was focused on Jesus, but they didn't sing like us. And they didn't have band instruments, okay? That's all right, though. They worshiped, and they prayed, and they had fellowship, and they listened to the teaching. And what did God do? Next verses. And awe came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were being done through the apostles. God was working. And all who believed were together and had all things in common. They said, what's mine is yours. Let's just share. And they were selling their possessions and belongings and distributing the proceeds to all as any had need. They go, this is not important for me to have this. You have it. You're in trouble. I'll sell something. I'll give you the money. It was just such a generous place to be in a group of people. And it says next, and day by day, attending the temple together. So they did big church, right? They all came together in the temple and did big church. And then they broke bread in their homes. They did small groups. Why do we do small groups? Because they did small groups. Because here we hardly know each other, right? I do all the talking, you're doing the listening, right? And then we talk a little bit, but we need a place to share and to build relationships. That's what they did. And they received their food with glad and generous hearts, And it says, praising God and having favor with all the people, and the Lord added to their number day by day those who were being saved. In other words, God was working and people were coming to Christ. And that is segment two, the first church. That's what they were experiencing. It was so exciting. They go, we got to put this everywhere. We got to put this everywhere because we see God at work. Segment three, just a short little segment in the book of Acts, chapters 3-5, is really the early leaders. It's Peter and John. They began to take over leadership at the time of the church. They were two of Jesus' closest followers. They go, okay, you were like his lieutenants. Now come lead us. You knew him best. Now you lead us. And they began to lead the church, and the church began to grow even more and more. They just shared what they experienced with Jesus. The religious leaders didn't like it because people were leaving them and going to this new church. And they got upset, and they arrest Peter and John, and they bring them in, and they begin to try them. Like, who are you to do these things? What's going on? They got upset, basically told them to be quiet, don't share anymore. But then in Acts chapter 4, 13, these leaders said something about these guys that we need to know. Acts 4:13. Now, when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, like Peter and John did not back down, and perceived that they were uneducated common men, they were astonished, and they recognized what? They had been with Jesus. I have people all the time saying, I can't witness, I don't know enough. I don't have the education, I don't know the Bible good enough or well enough. I wish I had more knowledge about the scriptures. This is the verse for everybody. The people looked at him and go, especially these leaders going, these guys, there's something about them. They don't have an education. They don't speak well. They don't have a deep knowledge of a lot of other things, but they are different. They speak with boldness. God is working. And we know they were with Jesus. When you're with Jesus in your life, that's all that matters. People go, I don't think God can use me. Why not? He used Peter and John, and they were uneducated, just common people. He can use you. The point is, are you being with Jesus? That's the key. Are you spending time with Jesus? Then let that shine through your life. That's what they did, and that's why the church was growing. It was a group of people that were bold because they had spent time with Jesus. That's segment three. Segment four, we're almost halfway. You guys are doing great. Good job. Number four, what we saw next is building the team and expanding the reach, which is Acts 6-8. All right, it begins to grow too fast. You ever been in a situation where your business grew too fast and you have to hiring people in and like, how do I make this work? That's what happened to them. They couldn't do it all. They said, we got to get some more people. Like Aaron said today, like we need more people to help. It's always true wherever you go, right? And they go, we can't take care of everybody in the church. We need some new people to rise up. And it says in Acts chapter 6-7, this is how they did it. We're going to get a new group of leaders, they said. And in verse 5, it says, and what they said pleased the whole gathering. Yeah, we do need more people to serve and to help. And they chose Stephen, a man full of faith and the Holy Spirit. He's listed first in Scripture. If they list someone first, most important, just so you know that. Stephen's first. What were his qualifications? Full of faith and the Holy Spirit. We see Stephen begins to tell people about Jesus. So much so, and God's used him so strongly, he gets pulled into a group of leaders. He begins to speak to them, tell them about Jesus. They got so mad at him, they killed him. He was one of the first martyrs. He died for his faith. He believed so strongly in Jesus, he was willing to give his life. And it's recorded in the book of Acts. Next one they talk about is Philip. We know Philip from 2 weeks ago. He's the one that met the Ethiopian eunuch on the road. And he shared about Jesus. He told the story of Jesus. And the Ethiopian eunuch was baptized at that moment. We talked about this 2 weeks ago. He went to Ethiopia, shared Christ, and the church was born there. Philip also went to Samaria, just like Jesus told him to do. And he shared with people from a different culture about Jesus. And many of them became followers of Christ. There's the first two. The rest of them we don't know much about. They have great names, though. We don't see these names. If you're going to have a child sometime, name them Prochorus. It's a great name, right? You should do that. You're going, no, I don't think so. How about Nicanor? Timon, that's from Disney, right? Timon, right there. Parmenas and Nicholas, a proselyte of a church in Antioch. And it says, these they set before the apostles, and they prayed and laid their hands on them. That's how they transferred leadership. And look what happened. The word of God continued to increase. It was driving the mission. And the number of the disciples multiplied greatly in Jerusalem. And look at this. A great many of the priests became obedient to the faith. Did you know that? There were a lot of priests who were giving their lives to Jesus. People who grew up Jews. Oh, wow. That's the one I've been hearing about all my life. And he's come. I want to know him. Sometimes you'll look at somebody and go, there's absolutely no way my son, daughter, cousin, coworker, neighbor will ever know Jesus. The book of Acts will prove you wrong. Priests were the last ones that anyone thought would ever come to Christ. And Acts sneaks it in. Luke sneaks it in and says, look, they were coming to Jesus. Don't give up on people. Don't categorize people. Let the Holy Spirit work, because then you'll be amazed. They were amazed. And that's how God was working, through new leaders and expanding the reach. Segment five. Next, we have Saul, who became Paul, an unlikely convert with a new mission. This is Acts 8 through 9, really the rest of the book, right? Most of us know Acts because we know the Gospels through what they were preaching, but through the life of Paul. Now, you guys know that his first name was Saul. I mean, not his first name, but the name he was first known by was Saul. He was a guy that was a Pharisee, most educated guy of his time, more than likely. Hated Christianity, hated anything about Jesus. He actually would hunt people down. The scriptures in Acts tell us that when Stephen was killed, Paul was standing there holding everybody's coats so they didn't get blood on their coats. This is where Saul was. Hated it, wanted to hunt it down and kill any vestige of Christianity. And he got letters from the leaders saying, go to this town called Damascus, go there and wipe out Christianity there, wipe out this any notion of Jesus. Paul's excited about this. Saul is what his name was at the time, was so excited. He got a group, he's on his way, and you remember what happened to him? This is the story most of us know, right? What happened? He met the resurrected Jesus on the way. And Jesus met him. And again, here's a person no one ever expected to be a Christ follower. He sees the resurrected Jesus in a blinding light, knocks him down the road on his hands and knees. And Saul hears from Jesus saying, why are you persecuting me? Why are you kicking against the goads? The goads was a sharp stick that you kind of pushed into like the backsides of cows to get them moving. What is God do when someone's becoming a Christian? He pokes them. He pokes them. You don't even know he's doing it. When you share about Jesus, you're going, what's going on? And he's been poking them about their sin, about their life, about their need for a Savior, their need for hope. He's been poking them the whole time. You didn't even know it. Saul was being poked by Jesus the whole time, the conviction, and he falls down. He's blinded. And Jesus says to him, go to Damascus. There you'll find a guy named Ananias and let him pray over you and you're going to get your marching orders. Same time, he told Ananias, there's a guy coming named Saul. And Ananias had heard his story. He goes, I don't want that guy coming to me. He's going to arrest me. He's undercover for everybody. God, you don't know what you're doing, basically. And God spoke to him and says, look, he's got a special mission. You go, you pray over him and get him moving. In Acts chapter 9, verse 15, this is what the Lord said to Ananias. He says, go, for Saul is a chosen instrument of mine to carry my name before whom? The Gentiles, which are everybody that's not a Jew, and to kings. I want him to go to kings and tell them about me. And the children of Israel, which is the Jews, that's going to be his mission. His life is going to be completely different. He was anti-God. Now he's going to be pro-Jesus, and he's going to do this as a witness. And that's what we see in chapters 8 and 9. Segment 6, next to last segment, it's the largest one. It's the deployment of everybody. That's Acts 9 through 20. I'm putting a big group around this one, okay? What do you see in deployment? You see Jesus sending them out through the Holy Spirit. Go share. Take this broader. In this deployment, Peter is, you see him acting a lot. He goes to this one place. He's resting. He has a vision about this guy who's a Gentile. The Gentile named Cornelius is having a vision about Peter. God's making this connection. And they meet. And when they meet and they pray, Cornelius and his whole household receives the Holy Spirit. And they go, God's doing something new. They had to go back and report it to the chiefs and the leaders of the Christian movement and go, look, we thought we were just going to the Jews. You need to know God's working. And he's working in different places. And Peter gives this great story about how God was working through the Gentiles. At this time, Paul takes about, his name changes to Paul at this time. He wants more of a name that applies to Gentiles. He doesn't want to be Saul anymore. That's a Jewish name. Paul, he takes on. He spends about 14 years being trained and getting away, spending time in the desert. And then when he comes back, they train him up, he and a guy named Barnabas, and they hear about this church called Antioch. And it's got all these new people in it. And all these people are coming to Jesus, and none of our people are there. This is a totally new work. And they said, Paul, will you go there with Barnabas and go check them out and help them learn about Jesus? And so they went, and they saw this church, and they helped out for a while. But while they were praying, it was like, there's more that God wants for us. In Acts chapter 13, verses 2 and 3, this is what happened one day. While they were worshiping the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I've called them. Then after fasting and praying, they laid their hands on them and they sent them off. The church's going, it's not about us, it's about reaching the world. Paul and Barnabas, we love having you here with us, but God's calling you to go somewhere else. And we support you and we prayed over you. It's interesting, in the rest of the book, this section of the book, you'll see they go on three missionary journeys. Paul goes with Barnabas. They have kind of a falling out. So Barnabas goes with a guy named John Mark. And Paul keeps picking up people. Like he goes, okay, I'm going. Who wants to go? Silas, you come with me. Who wants to go this time? Timothy, okay, you come. Titus, you come. He keeps grabbing people and making teams. And everywhere he goes, he just tells the story of Jesus. And they start a church. They go, how do you do church? Well, you do it like we did in Antioch, and you do it like we did in Jerusalem. You'd be devoted to one another. This is how you do church. And they would start a church, and they planted churches all along the Mediterranean. He does three of those trips, and the gospel's moving. And that leads to the final segment. We were here to number 7. We did it. Paul's arrest and imprisonment is the rest of the book. When Paul returns from this missionary journey, the third one, he goes back to Jerusalem. He's got some things to take care of, and he's arrested because people think he's taking Gentiles into the temple, and they get mad, and there's a riot, so they arrest Paul, even though everybody else is doing the rioting. He's like the innocent one. They just arrest him. He goes on trial, and as he's being tried, he just keeps telling the story of Jesus, and he starts telling the Jesus to all kinds of important people, and they listen, but they won't convert, and so he keeps telling them the story of Jesus. Finally, after 2 years, he gets tired of this, and he goes, look, I'm a Roman citizen. I want to go to Rome. Let me go to Rome. That's my right as a Roman citizen. And they said, okay, go to Rome. And as they send him to Rome on board a ship, those who like adventure, you'll see the adventure happening. As he goes, he's shipwrecked. He meets all kinds of people. All these things happen as the Holy Spirit drives it. He finds he ends up in Rome. He's under arrest. They let him go free. And then you're at Acts chapter 28, 30 through 31, the last chapter, verses in the chapter, okay? You ready for this? This is how the book ends. It says, he, Paul, lived there in Rome 2 years at his own expense and welcomed all who came to him, proclaimed the kingdom of God. He's just telling the story of Jesus, teaching about the Lord Jesus Christ, and he did it with boldness without hindrance. The word boldness keeps showing up, right? I'm not afraid. I'm just here to share Jesus. I don't care what you do to me. I'm just here to share Jesus. I don't care if you disagree with me. I'm just here to share Jesus. I don't care what happens to me. I'm just here to share Jesus. That's what happened over 32 years. Luke ends his book. We know that Paul dies shortly after, but Luke just wants to say, I'm done. Why is he done? Because in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, what did Jesus say? You're going to be my witnesses in Jerusalem. What happened in Jerusalem? The church was founded. That happened. You're going to go to Judea. They planted churches all over Judea. You're going to go to Samaria. People in Samaria know Jesus. You're going to go to the ends of the earth. To them, where's the ends of the earth? Rome, the capital of the Roman Empire. All roads lead to Rome. All roads lead out of Rome. And when Paul's there, he's assigned a guard. You know who his guard was? People who work directly for Caesar. It's hard to explain how this happened when it went from 120 people in Jerusalem to the doorstep of Caesar's household. The gospel is there, and in Luke's mind, everything's been accomplished that was supposed to be accomplished. It got here. The Holy Spirit has worked. And now for 2,000 years, we continue to see that happen. Real quick for this year and for Bridges, I want to go through four ingredients that we see for being deployed. We just looked at those. They're really simple. You want to take this and live it? Here's four ingredients of the book of Acts. Number one is the story of Jesus. That's all you have to know. Can you tell somebody about Jesus? What he's done in your life, what he's been doing. Can you tell anything about him? Can you explain that he's the Christ, the Son of the living God? That's all it is. That was their secret sauce, right? Just tell them about Jesus. Well, I don't know about creation. Doesn't matter. Do you know about Jesus? Well, I don't know how the 66 books were put together. Doesn't matter. Do you know about Jesus? That's all you have to know. That's what they did. They told their testimony, which is the personalized gospel. What did Jesus do in your life? Can you tell me that today? What has Jesus done in your life? That's all you have to tell you. He got me through this problem. Great, that's your story. He saved my life. That's your story. Can you do that? Number two, what do we see throughout the book of Acts? Relationships and community, forming churches, doing it as teams. It's always about relationships. What relationships do God have in your life that you could share Christ through? It's about relationships here on Sunday morning and in small group. It's about relationships out in the community, people that you know. Number three, hardships and sacrifices. Every one of them was willing to give their life. Every one of them went through hard times. Every one of them sacrificed. Every one of them left their home to go tell. I'm completely humbled as I go through the book of Acts. All God asks from me is time and money. That's about it. I live very comfortably. And sometimes I argue with God about my time. Does anybody else do that? They were willing to give everything because they said, I know I'm saved. I want the world to know. It's what Jesus told me. Hardships and sacrifices. And finally, number four, the work of the Holy Spirit. Everything was empowered by the Spirit. Everything they had to say, everything they had to do was empowered by the Spirit. It's not about you. It's about the Holy Spirit working through you. There are the four things that we do at Bridges that we need to do. Just tell people about Jesus. Continue to build relationships and community. Take the extra time. Give God whatever he asks you and be driven by the Holy Spirit. As we wrap up, just a couple of things. One, I got a chance to go to Ukraine on a missions trip. I've told about that before. One of the cool things is when we were wrapping up, we were in Kyiv, and it's a beautiful city. It's like downtown is so much like American city. And we had spent 2 weeks experiencing everything I just read. We had community. It was wonderful to worship there. We saw the work of the Holy Spirit. We just told the story of Jesus to people who had never heard it before. They kept going, tell us more. We saw all of that. At the end, we're in a room, debriefing room. And the leader comes in. He says, open your Bibles. It was like I asked you to do. And he says, turn to Acts chapter 29. So I turned to Acts 29. There was just one problem. Anybody know the problem? There is no Acts 29, right? We just read Acts 28, the last two verses. And so like an idiot, right, I'm open to the book of Acts 29, and it's not there. And we're going, did you make a mistake? You know, there's no Acts 29. What are you talking about? We can't find it. You raise your hand. Hey, did you mean a different chapter? Acts 29, he goes, you just lived it. We're living it right now. That's a cool thing, right? It's being written in your hearts. It's been written in your life for 2,000 years. It just keeps adding page after page after page. How you took the gospel, how you shared with Jesus, how you became a Christ follower. All these things would have been written down if Luke could sit down with you and goes, tell me your story. I'm going to add on Acts 29, verse 1001. I'm going to add your story there, how God reached you, and then how God used you to reach other people. That's what being deployed is all about. You're part of the story. Today, we're going to ask you to do two things. And this, every month, we're going to do different stuff. Here's the first thing we're going to ask you to do. Next week, we're starting a series called What Do I Do When? And the whole purpose of this series is to explain what do you do when you face really hard times? Who do you know that needs to hear that? Who do you know that's going through a hard time that just needs to hear encouragement? Maybe you invite them. Maybe you'll get a chance for the Holy Spirit to share the story that you heard on Sunday of the hope that we have in Jesus when we go through tough times. So invite, share, be open to the Holy Spirit, and let him work. The second thing we're asking you to do is consider the student sponsorship we mentioned. Here's a group of kids and their families, and they're just down the street. And they're our Samaria, right? They're a different culture. They speak different languages. They have different understandings. But we are taking chance every day to share the gospel with them. And you can do that too. We just ask you to be praying about that and consider it, how you can make a difference in one family right here in our community that needs to be reached for Christ. Today we watched a video at the beginning, and we watched it last week, and at the end there's a prayer, right? Do you remember what Jesus told us to pray? He said, the harvest is plentiful, pray for more workers. You and I are the answer to Jesus' prayer. He said, there's people that need to know me. Will you be a worker in the field? That's what he's asking us to do. Where is God going to deploy you so that you can share Christ with others? He's asking, please go. I'm sending you. How we respond to that is really the answer to Jesus' prayer. It's either a yes or a no. We'll go. So let's pray. Father God, we cover a lot of ground today in your word, but it's really the story of your faithfulness and your power as you move people, as you led people, as you inspired people, as you empowered people to take the gospel around the world. And for those of us in the room today that know Jesus, work through us, use us. Work through your Holy Spirit to open doors that we can share Christ. Put in our hearts people that need to know you. Open conversations where people might just say something. Give us somebody on their heart that we can invite to come in and say, I know you're going through a difficult time, but let me tell you how God can help you. We're going to talk about that at church. Father, just show us what's next. We know you have a heart for lost people. Give us that heart too. And Father, whether it's online or in the room, if there's anybody here that's like Peter, just going, what do I do next? Maybe that's what we need to hear, what Peter told those people. Simply repent and be baptized. Maybe someone needs today to make that step of faith, to give their life fully to Christ and to see him at work and be filled with the Holy Spirit by faith. I just pray over that person today too. Open doors, Father, wherever we go. And we pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen.